I've appreciated very much the last two evenings that Devin and Alitha offered metta practice. This is the focus of the evening. And I'd like to do something similar, but to offer it to be related heart quality that I call care. There are the Brahmaviharas, which are usually considered the heart qualities. But in the teachings of the Buddha, there's another thing called Anukampa, which is what motivated the Buddha to teach, to support people. When people were mature in the practice, he would send them out to help others, to go out for the welfare and happiness of others, but out of care, out of anukampa. And anukampa overlaps quite a bit with the Brahmaviharas. And I think of the Brahmaviharas as forms of care, of anukampa. But there's also something that's I like about anukampa. It's very simple. And it involves a kind of thorough going, non-clinging. And of course, that can be there for the Brahmaviharas, that we do love without any clinging at all, without any attachments. And this the English word care is really a, I think of it as a humble word that we can offer care to someone we don't like. We just do it kind of simply and matter-of-factly. When my mother was in hospice, I was inspired by the careful care. I felt these people really cared. Maybe they would have said they loved her or had met her if they had ever heard of the word. But there was something clean and simple, and I could easily imagine that they didn't think about her after they left the room. But there was this carefulness and respect and kind of tenderness. It was different than compassion, different than metta, different than mudita or equanimity, that allowed them to, with such respect and simplicity and tenderness and carefulness, try to do well for my mother, try to do well for others. The simplest definition of anukampa is to have concern for the welfare and happiness of others. Maybe it's different than being friendly or kind or loving kindness. It's practical. It's doing something. The closest that we find the teachings of the Buddha of what might be the catalyst for this anukampa, this care, is respect, respecting others. In our respect of others, we care for them. There's a caring. And so it might be hard sometimes to, sometimes it's easy, but it might be hard sometimes to have metta or karuna or mudita, equanimity. And sometimes it might be hard because it's not quite the right thing. Maybe it's a little bit too energetic or a little bit more kind of, it kind of adds something to a settled, peaceful heart that maybe feels like it's a little bit too much. But I, you know, at least in my practice, it feels like the word care, so it seems like always space for that. It's like simpler, so it's kind of like almost like built into finding my way in the practice. As I find my way in the practice, there's a care, caring for the practice, caring for myself, caring for the world. Just as I'm kind of, it's important, it's valuable, I just respect. I'm searching for how to bring welfare and happiness. And it's kind of like a, that kind of a, feels like a kind of a delightful pleasure or a sweet gravitas, kind of very light gravitas, if you're allowed to say those two words together. That this, you know, this is important, and you know, and we hold it lightly to care. So to take a meditation posture and return to your sitting out of care, out of anukampa. You don't have to love yourself if you don't want to, or if you can't. You don't have to even like yourself. To care. You can still care for yourself. You can still care that you're important and your well-being is important, and you can approach yourself with care. You can approach yourself with a tenderness, a respect, a valuing that your welfare is important, your happiness is important. And to care, to offer care, a heart that cares. And maybe caring doesn't have to have a reason. It's just the nature of the heart to care in this simple, ordinary way. And if you, maybe on the next exhale, drop deep inside, into your heart, the quietest places inside, might there be some feeling or orientation to care? To be caring. To be careful. And if there is such a place deep inside, a quiet place, that maybe can you feel it, that it maybe doesn't have any expectations or clinging or attachments. They can care without having a need. A care that has no obligation. A caring which is part of freedom, the heart's freedom. To care and to sit for this sitting close to that place of care. Maybe your breathing can arise and return to it. Breathing can breathe through it, breathe with it. Maybe breathing can be it. Breathing with care. Sometimes I associate care with a silence, an inner silence, a vital silence, a living silence within, a stillness, a quiet. And sometimes I associate this inner quiet with care, where there's a room for the simple attitude of care. Not simply to know the next breath, but to care for it. So maybe in preparation for sleep, I'll tell you two bedtime stories. When I was a Zen practitioner, long ago, 1979, I was living at the Green Gulch Zen Center, and there was, for the first time, I think, a meeting of some of the main Japanese Zen masters in the United States. And there wasn't a big number back then, but I think there were about six or seven who came. And they had, mostly it was a meeting among themselves to talk about business. But one evening they had a panel for all the students to be able to ask them questions. I don't remember anything that was asked or any answer anybody gave after all these years. But I do remember that they were all sitting at a long table with a wall a little bit behind them, but there was space behind the wall for someone to walk. And a Zen student came behind them like a waiter to kind of offer them, put some water in front of them, or offer them some tea or something, just quietly, just kind of lean over and put it there. And as they went down, the person went down the behind them and did all this, none of the Zen masters made any acknowledgement of the person who had just given them water or something. And I didn't, I had no thoughts about it. I wasn't like consciously recognizing that's what was happening until it came to the last teacher. And after the person put the water down, that teacher turned around completely around as if that person serving the water was like the most important person in the moment and thanked the person. That person mattered. That person was respected. He cared for that person. I don't know if he had love or compassion or metta or kindness. I don't think that was being expressed, but a certain kind of basic human care, caring and care and respect. I was really touched by this and wondered about the other Zen masters then. That's one good night story. The other one is that in the same place at the Green Gulch Zen Center, I was doing a seven-day sesshin, seven-day retreat. And you sit mostly facing the wall, like on a platform legs, and you face the wall. But in the afternoon, every afternoon, they'd serve you tea in your meditation posture. But you had to turn around and face out. And there was a little, they called it the meal board. They'd put the teacup there So every afternoon we had this tea, and servers would come into the meditation hall with kettles of tea and they'd pour it. The first day, we didn't have any teacups, so the servers came in with a tray with little Japanese teacups. And so then we had that teacup for the week, and we'd keep it next to our seat. And then we'd drink our tea, they'd come over to the cookie and tea every afternoon. Very civilized. Or English, at least. So I was sitting next to, for the whole week, a visiting Japanese Zen monk who sat very, very well, very still, very in a Zen kind of determination. I really admired his presence and sitting next to me. So we were, you know, companions for the week. And then it came, the last time they had tea, last day, we had our tea, but then the servers came in to retrieve the teacups. And they just put the tray out, and you put the tray on the teacups, and that was kind of like it. I think you bowed to the servers after they took the teacup, or when they took teacups. So. But the Zen monk next to me, he did something really strange that made me wonder, what? What? Why would you do that? But it made a huge impact on me. So the teacup was right in front of him, and the server came, and before he did anything else, the Zen monk bowed to his teacup. And then he, with two hands, picked it up carefully and put it on the tray. What? He bowed to a teacup? An inanimate object? I was young, a new student. But I was so struck that you even care for a teacup. You even have care, respect, appreciation for a teacup. So this is appreciating everyone in your life, appreciating everything, caring for people, caring for everyone, caring for objects, caring for everything, a life of care. So as you go to sleep tonight, unless you have something better to do, go to bed with care. Care for yourself, care for your pillow, your blankets, but really care for yourself. Can you brush your teeth, get ready for bed, all as a form of care? You might do it habitually. You might do it distractedly, preoccupied thoughts. I doubt those are better things to do than to do it with care. So unless you have something better to do, go to bed with care, with appreciation for everything, including yourself. So you could bow to yourself for brushing your teeth. Thank you for brushing my teeth. Thank you for putting me to bed. Thank you, pillow. Thank you, mattress. It doesn't have to be that extreme. But I challenge you. If you don't have anything better to do as you go to bed with care. Thank you.